Good morning once again. Well, you may have been wondering if we're going to stick with the sermon series that we have been in for the last few weeks, and we are. We're going to continue that this morning. And you might also be wondering, is Dave still going to tell the joke? Yep, I sure am. Here it goes. A man goes to the doctor with a swollen foot. After a careful examination, the doctor gives the man a pill big enough to choke a horse. I'll be right back with some water, the doctor tells him. The doctor's been gone a while, and the man, he's starting to lose his patience. He hobbles out to the drinking fountain, forces the pill down his throat, and gobbles down water until the pill clears his throat. He hobbles back into the examination room. Just then, the doctor comes back with a bucket of warm water. Okay, after the tablet dissolves, soak your foot for about 20 minutes. I thought that was comical because our patience is definitely being tested with the measures that are being taken with this COVID-19 virus. And I just urge you to continue to be patient with what's going on. Not that great. You might be thinking what's going on right now is not that great. I hope your conversation during lunch today isn't that the sermon, well, not that great. Actually, this morning, our sermon title is Not That Great. I read a story a few years ago in the city of New Orleans. There were a lot of drownings in public pools. Over several summers in a row, they kept having drownings, and the city decided that they'd had enough, that this could not go on any longer. And so they chose to ramp up their efforts to be safer. They hired more lifeguards. And finally, they had a summer with no drownings in any of the city pools for an entire summer in the city of New Orleans. They decided to have a party, a pool party, and they invited all the staff. There were a little over 200 people involved at this pool party, and at least 100 of them were trained lifeguards. But unfortunately, tragedy happened. When the pool party was over, they started to get everyone out of the pool. The four lifeguards who were in attendance noticed that there was a lifeless body in the deep end of the pool. 31-year-old man named Jeremy Moody was found unconscious, the bottom of the pool, fully dressed, and they could not revive him, and he died. How could this happen? The city was in shock. With 100 lifeguards on duty, surrounded by tons of people, how could a tragedy like this happen? When you think about it, the truth is it happens all the time. Every single day we're surrounded by people who are drowning in the emotion of loneliness. And loneliness, it has nothing to do with being physically alone. The definition of loneliness is feeling isolated from those around you. Each and every day, and maybe you feel this way, I don't know, that we're surrounded by people, but we can feel so distant, we can feel so alone as we go throughout our day. Whether you're at your home, you're at school, you're where you work, you're surrounded by people in a busy shopping mall or grocery store. We're not experiencing that now, but one day we will. Got a myth I want to debunk this morning. A lot of people believe, and it's been said by many, that as long as you have a relationship with Jesus, you'll never be alone. Well, we can have a relationship with Jesus, with the Lord, and we can have lonely times. You go back to the Old Testament, you think of Joseph. When his brothers threw him in that well, he was all alone. When he was accused of crimes he did not commit and he was thrown into jail, he was faithful to God, but he was alone. You think of Jonah, the prophet that God called to go and to save the Ninevite people. He fled from God's plan and, well, he ended up in the belly of that great fish. For 3 days and three nights, he was alone. You think of Elijah. He told a king and a queen some news they did not want to hear, and they wanted his head. And he fled to the wilderness, and he hid in a cave, and he was all alone. The loneliness had to have set in. You think of Jesus as he hung on that cross, and he bore the sins of all humanity. He was there all alone. So you can have a relationship with Jesus. You can be surrounded by people, yet still feel alone. And when we are down and someone asks, well, how you doing? How's it going? On the outside, you might say, okay, fine. But on the inside, it's a different story. You're thinking, it's not that great. We've been talking about vehicles for different emotions, and the only vehicle I could come up with when it comes to loneliness was a unicycle. Unicycle, that's a one-man operation. Only one person rides it at a time. You're by yourself. We've also talked about road signs. That in life, we take one direction or another. And if you're on the lonely unicycle, all by yourself, and you choose a path that goes away from God, you can choose a direction of isolation and loneliness. But if you're on that unicycle of loneliness, you can also go take that road sign that points towards the Lord, where you can find community and belonging and a relationship with God. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 142 this morning, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. You might remember David. He wrote this psalm. David, as a young boy, a shepherd, one day he killed a bear that tried to attack the flock. Another occurrence, a lion tried to attack the flock. He thought to himself, I'm sure I've killed a bear. Why can't I kill a lion? You remember David? He killed that great giant Goliath. Well, in Psalm 142, this is not the same David. This is a lonely man at a low point in his life. In Psalm 142, David is hiding in a cave from King Saul, who is hunting him down. And he's alone, and he's isolated, and he's in a deep valley. And so Psalm 142 starts this way in verse 1. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to you, the Lord of mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. And here in this psalm, David starts to give us a lesson. He gives us an example to follow when we are feeling lonely. And the first thing that he teaches us when we feel that we're all alone is that we need to cry out to God. When we do this, we do it when we're a place where we don't want to be, when we're in a place that we know we can't get ourselves out. And so we make our cry to the Lord. David is in a cave. He's in a cave of loneliness. He's all by himself. And he makes his plea known to God, and he cries out. In verse 4, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. He continues in verse 5, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. And in verse 6, listen to my cry. For I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. And when we're in our cave of loneliness, when we're cruising down the road on a unicycle of loneliness, there can be a sense that no one cares. And that's where David was. He felt that there is not one person for me. And there's times in life where we can feel the same way. That there's no one that understands, there's no one that cares, that we're all alone. And we feel that we're in the back of this dark, deep cave, and we're scared and we're alone. And David says, you need to cry out to the Lord. The second lesson that we learn from David is this, to spell out your situation. We understand that God knows everything. It's hard for us to fathom that God would know everything, but he is all-knowing. And he knows your situation. He knows your loneliness. He knows the cave where you are, where you're scared and you're all alone and you don't know what to do. And David spells out his situation to God. He tells him specifically, and we talked about this last week in our prayers to God, that he wants us to be not generic, but very specific in how we feel and what we're going through. Because God wants to work in the specific, not the generic. God wants to give you specific help to specific situations. And then we can see God work in a wonderful way in our lives. I want to tell you another story about David. It comes in 2 Samuel chapter 9. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David is no longer in the cave. He is now the king. He's the king of Israel. And one day he asks his officials, is there anyone left from Saul's family? You remember Saul, that king that wanted to hunt down David. And so he makes his request, and one of Saul's servants who is still around, a man named Ziba, he speaks up and says, yes, there is still one descendant of Saul's left. It's his grandson, Saul's son Jonathan's boy. Strange name here. Mephibosheth. Say it with me. Mephibosheth. So David orders that Mephibosheth to be brought to him. And when the news reaches Mephibosheth that he has been requested to come into the presence of David the king, he is scared to death. And there's good reason for this. In this time frame, in this culture, when a new king took over, any of the family of the prior king typically were imprisoned or killed in fear of an uprising. And so Mephibosheth is thinking his life is on the line. And so we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." You see, David and Jonathan had a great relationship. They were best of friends. And David and Jonathan, they had made a pact to one another that if one of them were to be killed, the other would take care of his family. And David remembered that promise that he had made to Jonathan. And so he sought out any relatives, and there was just one, this man named Mephibosheth. In keeping with this promise, he brought Mephibosheth out of his cave of loneliness. You see, Mephibosheth, he came from a lonely place. He was in a lonely state. Let's see how he replies to David's request. This is 2 Samuel 9, verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" A dead dog like me. This man was beat down. He was lonely. He was just as David was in Psalm 142, that no one cared for him, that he was worthless to the world, and he'd been left alone, and he was lonely. And David brought him out of that cave of loneliness. His self-worth had been destroyed. And, well, there's three reasons for why Mephibosheth felt the way he felt about himself. First was where he came from. He came from a place called Lo Debar, which in Hebrew means a place of no pasture, a desolate wasteland, a place no one visited, a place that no one was looking to move to. And oftentimes we can feel lonely because of where we're from. We can be judged based upon that and labeled, and we can feel that we're a nobody, and we can isolate ourselves and feel all alone. And that's exactly how this man felt. There was a second reason. It was his family. His grandfather, Saul, he had tried to hunt down and to kill David. And sometimes we can be labeled or defined by our families, by things that have happened in the past. And that can put us in a lonely state. That can cause us to isolate ourselves from others and feel all alone because of how people label us based on what's happened in the past and, well, who we're related to. And that was the case for this man. A third was his health. You see, Mephibosheth was crippled. He could not walk. When he was just 5 years old, his father, Jonathan, and his grandfather, Saul, were killed in battle. When the news had reached where Mephibosheth was, it says that his nurse scooped him up in his arms and went to flee because they were afraid. And when she did, she tripped and fell, and she landed on the boy and crushed his legs, and he had been crippled ever since. And sometimes the misfortunes that happen in this life, they can define us and cause us to isolate ourselves and feel so alone. And when we're labeled in these ways, it can be really hard to overcome them. And loneliness can set in, and we can suffer from dead dog-itis, where we feel that we have no self-worth and that no one cares and we're not worth anything to society. And we crawl back into the cave of loneliness where it's dark and we're scared and we don't know how to get out. And so we've seen David in Psalm 142 cry out, and then he spelled out. Now he's going to seek out God's help. When we're in need, we need to seek out help. Unfortunately, in this life, all too often when we're in need, we seek out about anything that this world can offer before we choose to seek out God. And this is the lesson that David teaches. That is the Lord that we need to seek out. You see, when God says he'll deliver on his promise, he will. The Bible's filled with thousands of promises of God. Promises such as, ask and it will be given. Knock and I will answer. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so David writes in Psalm 142, verse 7, set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. You see, David has given a pretty good sermon here. He says you need to cry out to the Lord. He says you need to spell out your problems to the Lord. Then you need to seek out the Lord. And finally, you need to get out of the cave. I know it's not easy. When we are in a lonely state where we feel that no one cares, it's really hard to trust, let alone trust in God. But David says if you follow these steps, you'll be able to get out of that dark, deep cave. Because you've taken these steps and you've trusted in God. And when we find ourselves really struggling in the cave of loneliness, we start to hear Satan. And Satan wants to keep you in that cave of loneliness. And he'll shout at you, trying to discourage you and trying to keep you right where you are and to tell you that God, you're not worthy of him. And he'll shout and it'll be deafening and it'll pierce your ear. And it'll make you just sink down into a more depressed state of loneliness. But God whispers. When we're in that lonely cave, he's whispering in our ear. Why is he whispering in our ear? Because God is that close. He is so close to you. Sometimes we don't recognize it. But if we stop and we listen, and we cry out, we ask for God's help, and he starts to whisper in our ear, and the Holy Spirit starts to guide us, and we're attentive to that. And we can start to build our trust in God, and he can lead us out of that cave of loneliness. And God will whisper, and he'll call you out of that cave of loneliness and into his acceptance, that you are a part and you belong to him. And so, which voice will you choose to listen to? It's your decision, it's your choice to make. And if you feel that you're in the back of a lonely cave, listen to the whispers of God, his truth. In Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirits. That's just how much God desires for you not to be in that cave of loneliness, that to feel the acceptance and the belonging that each and every one of us can have. And Satan may be shouting. He might be shouting at you right now as you're listening to this message. Perhaps Satan is using someone else to shout at you as well, to suppress you and to keep you down and make you feel lonely in the back of that cave. But I pray that you're reminded, that God is still there. He is so close, and he's whispering in your ear that you're accepted by him. The God of the universe, this great big God, and he's not only just a God, but he is a father. He is a father that loves you more than anything that you can understand. He loves us far greater than we know how to love. And he's extending that to you today. He's right there calling you out of that cave and into the light. You know who that light is. It's his son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you take those steps if you feel lonely. I pray that you share this with those, if you know someone in your family, a friend that's feeling lonely, that's scared, that you know a God that loves them this much. I'm so glad that you tuned in to worship with us in this way. I know it's a little bit different, a little unusual, but nonetheless, it's worship. And we're going to continue to do this as long as we can't meet together. And I want to encourage you, as perhaps you're spending more time at home, that you take the time to spend more time with your children, grandkids. Spend more time in prayer and in God's Word. Perhaps we're given this opportunity right now to strengthen some relationships. Sometimes God's up to some things that we just don't understand. But in this time where there are a lot of fears, I pray that you stay calm, that you take the advice of what's being told to us to do, but that we don't panic and that we just continue to trust in God, that He'll lead us through this. I want to have prayer with you right now, and we'll see you again next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that we have the means that we do to use these resources to put out a time of worship and to look into your word. And I pray, Father, that we would use these tools to glorify you. I pray, Lord, that what we've done through this has honored and glorified you, that you have received the praise that you're due. Father, I just pray for our church family that you would protect them in this time. I pray, Father, that you would protect them not only from the virus, but from the anxiety that could be setting in for many. And I just pray that you would just hold each of us by the hand as a loving Father and just guide us through this time. I pray, Father, for all of those in our nation and across this world that are working to stop this, that, Father, you would work in a great way through them. And I just pray, Father, through all of this, that you would be glorified, that your name would be magnified, and that Jesus would be made known. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.